This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show today. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show this week starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rob Brown, the great Alonzo, on the ones and the twos. I asked a question in the last hour that I will propose for your my hour entertainment this hour of the show. What's the most egregious lie that your family told you? What's the most egregious lie that you found out after you became a young adult, a teenager, a grown-ass man or woman? The most egregious lie you found out that your family told you when you were a youth. And I'm not talking about the first one that many of you think of, you terrible people. I'm talking about like a family secret that got hidden away for a long time. I'm talking about something that, a mom or a dad or an uncle or something. And do me a favor. You know what can and can't be said on the radio.
See, I don't. I was told a lot of things. Do I go back and go, okay, let me go through the history books and find out if this is true? Like my grandma said she used to date one of the Hatfields from the Hatfields and McCoys, which they lived in Kentucky at the time. That big feud, it's famous, a lot of people know about. Do I have to go look and see, okay, my grandma's this age, the Hatfields, no, my grandma told me she did, so I believe it. She also had a picture of my great-great-great-great-grandfather, who was the last man to be hung in Pike County, Kentucky, for stealing a horse, and just in her living room, with that written on the bottom of it. Should I go back and find out, was he actually the last one? I don't know if she's proud about it, but it was hanging in her living room.
You know, I put that onto the list of, if my parents, grandparents, whatever, like, genuinely believed it was true and told it to me because they believed it was true, that's not a lie. They're passing on incorrect information. To
right,
me,
right.
A lie,
but would
a lie.
You go look it up to validate?
I have before, actually. I was told when I was a youngster that I was distantly related to a former, a long ago former president of the United States. which then myself and a cousin of mine who lives in Texas, we got very curious about it. And we, and by we, I mean she, decided to actually put together like a...
Was it Millard Fillmore?
It was not. It was Andrew Jackson, actually.
Okay.
Right. Old Hickory. So that had been passed down for a very long time in my family that we had a... like a separated, but a relation to Andrew Jackson from back in the day. And one of my cousins did the whole like big time family tree thing, right? Like she was digging through like research records from Andrew Jackson's days, like hospital records that you had to not just know how to read and write cursive, but you had to like know how to do it back like constitution writing style. And she did all the research, and it turned out that was, if it's true, we were unable to find any documentation of it. We did find out there were some other interesting, not like nationally notable, but like regionally notable people that were in our family tree from back in New Orleans. The first, one of them is like the first Irish fire captain in New Orleans, a guy who is largely responsible for a lot of the positive history of the NOFD. I've got a relation to him long term. Yeah, like it's a lot of stuff that it's real interesting to you if you're a part of that family tree.
But the thing like that, that's a thing you don't go research because, oh yeah, that's positive. I'm just going to go ahead and take that. But are you more apt to research the stuff that's negative just to maybe disprove it?
See, I am. I have that approach to both things, right? Like, I could have gone the rest of my life being like, "Yo, I'm distantly related to Old Hickory, the winner of the Battle of New Orleans." Like, I'm an Andrew Jackson descendant. But the reality is, I wanted to know if that was true or not. Whether it's good, bad, positive, negative, I wanted to know if that was true or not. So we did the research on it. And again, like I didn't know all these other stories. And to me,
you didn't exhume them to see if you guys have matching DNA.
Well, I don't know that it would show up.
I don't either. But
what I do know is that we found a couple of other, like I said, more regionally notable people in our family tree down the line. And to me, that's far more interesting. It'd be interesting to be a descendant of a president or whatever. But to me, to find out that like my family is partially responsible for the beginnings of the New Orleans Fire Department in a city which has dealt with fires for a very long time. And I still, in fact, a dear cousin of mine, John B. Ellis, he is still a captain with the NOFD. My family is still involved in that. Like, I think that's more interesting. So the question is, what's the most egregious lie or the funniest silly little lie that you got told when you were growing up? Our boy Dominique Foxworth said his grandmama told him that Hennessy tastes like pound cake. I don't know why she'd say that. My dad, when I was growing up, and I got to be to that like 13, 14, 15, feeling my oats vibes, you know? And I was like, "Dad, I think I'm ready for my first beer." My old man was like, "No, you're not. No, you're not." And I don't remember specifically what he told me, but he basically told me that it tasted like something awful. And I'm like, "No, you drink beer. I'm going to drink beer. I'm a man. I'm good." And he goes, "Okay." Core memory. Sat me down at a table for dinner. He and my mom one night, they cracked open a beer. It was a... was my granddaddy was drinking. Old Milwaukee. Was it Old Milwaukee? Which, in retrospect, like, if you want somebody not to drink beer, make their first beer in Old Milwaukee. And they, like, set it down on the table. And they're like, "All right, here's the deal. If we crack it and you start it, you're going to finish it. You understand that? We're not wasting a beer. If we crack it and you start it, you are going to..." I sat there and hated every second of that brewski. It was awful. This is 100% true. I did not touch another beer until I was in college. That was like 13, 14, somewhere in that ballpark. I did not touch another beer until I was in college because of how bad that experience was. It's kind of like when the, you know, parents catch you smoking. They're like, "Cool, finish the pack right now. Do not stand up again until you finish the pack." It was that, but a beer. So what's the either most egregious or the funniest lie that your parents told you, whether it's to keep you from knowing something or to kind of try to help you, learn a life lesson down the line? I'm curious. All right, let's get some more stuff in here as the show rolls on. Got about 52 minutes until we get to the end of the radio broadcast. If you want to get in, now is your opportunity. I addressed it earlier. I'll address it again now. We are less than 3 hours away from the beginning of round number three of the Southeastern Conference Women's Basketball Championship Tournament. And it's a big one today. It's a big one today because the South Carolina Gamecocks are the one seed in the SEC tournament, and they get their tip at noon today. It is interesting to me because, and I said this earlier in the show, shortly after that, there's another top 12 matchup is number 10 Oklahoma takes on number 12 Kentucky. And that's an interesting game, obviously, assuming that the Gamecocks were to win this game today against Vanderbilt, and we're going to talk about the Doors here in just a minute, they would get the winner of that game next. I think it's likely to be Kentucky, but to be honest with you, I could very much see Oklahoma stealing a victory here. Here's what I do know. What I do know is I'm actually more apprehensive and concerned about the game today than I am about the game tomorrow in the semifinal. If South Carolina ends up against Oklahoma or Kentucky, I feel better about that game than I do against Vanderbilt today. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The first is mindset and mentality. I've given Dawn Staley a lot of credit over the years, and one of the things I've given Dawn Staley a lot of credit for over the years is that I cannot recall a game where I've seen the women's basketball team representing the University of South Carolina throttled back. Can't say that about a lot of teams. I don't think I have seen a game in the 5 seasons that I've covered this team living here in the beautiful upstate of South Carolina that I have seen this team throttled back. That's not to say I've seen them win every game. Yeah, they've taken some L's. Lost in a phenomenal tournament game a couple of years back. Have lost a couple of regular season games this year, something they did not do last year. I've seen some L's, but I've never seen an L that I was able to go, lack of effort. They didn't show up today. That's very rare. That's exceptionally rare. But they haven't played a game in a minute. They got the double bye in the SEC tournament. Handful of days off from the season finale. Then Vanderbilt played yesterday. So they've got not just the ring rust, but they've only played one game, right? So, like, they've got that chance to rebuild their rhythm and their tempo and their chemistry. South Carolina's been sitting on the house for a couple of days now. So I do wonder, not so much will the team come out, like, not there, right? Like, no effort. Because a lot of teams, and I do think this might be the bit of good news for South Carolina not being as separated from the pack as they were last year in this SEC tournament. I think the good news is there's probably not what I think cost a lot of number one seeds conference championships and NCAA March Madness losses, upsets, whatever. I think for a lot of those teams that are one seeds, high seeds, big time favorites, never a dog, I think even the most mentally fortuitous of us, the mentally strong of us, can sometimes let off the gas a little bit, man. Like, again, the reason that we celebrate people like Kobe Bryant, that, you know, they were attacking the Washington Wizards the same way that they were attacking, you know, the best team in the NBA, is because it's rare. It is human nature to bust your ass to get good at something, but then go, take a little bit of a day off here, right? And take a little breather here. That's okay. That's all good. That's fine. I don't think that's what would be what happens. What I do think would be what happens is, without a dominant inside player this year, if your team is out of sorts, they hadn't played in a couple of days, the rhythm's off, the tempo's off, whatever. If your team's out of sorts, the way that you work around that is to get the ball inside, is to get the ball in the paint, is to run your offense from the paint out. Don't rely on the people who have to be finesse with the ball to be finesse with the ball until you get that rhythm, that tempo, that routine back. I don't know that South Carolina really has that as an option in this game. We talked about the game yesterday. Vanderbilt knocks off, doesn't knock off Tennessee. They beat Tennessee. Final score was 84-76. That game was not as close as the score indicates. Vandy did not pull starters late, But they got real sloppy late. And Tennessee put up a handful of points. Vandy was up 7 after the first. They were up 6 after the second. Then they were up 15 at the end of the third quarter. Tennessee won the fourth quarter 28-21, but most of the 7, the plus 7 differential they won the fourth quarter by, most of them came inside the last 3 minutes when Tennessee was basically out there trying to increase their seed. Look, we're going home after two games, but let's make this look like a game so that when the committee meets to decide where we're going to play, because Tennessee is not going to be hosting a regional anymore. They will be traveling in round one. Let's get the most fortuitous place that we can end up at by making this a game. And they did. They barnstormed the last couple of minutes. At that point, it was pretty clear. I was paying attention to what Vandy was doing inside the last 3 minutes. And basically, they just kind of went base everything. Base offense, base defense. They weren't really doing a lot of switching. They weren't really moving around a lot. It was pretty much fall back into a zone. Let them play from the outside and we'll see what happens. We're not losing this game. And they didn't. What I did think was interesting about this game is despite the fact that one of their forwards, Camille Pierre, is only 6'2". And she's in the women's game, she's obviously quite tall, but she's not Camila Cardoso, right? Like she's not, oh damn, that's a dominant five. She's a good player. And she's got size to be able to clean the glass. And she did yesterday. 15 boards for the Vanderbilt Commodores. 5 of them, offensive rebounds. The Doors had 15 offensive rebounds yesterday. That's 15 second chance points. That's as many as 30 points that Tennessee allowed at least to be an opportunity for the Vanderbilt Commodores. You think on 15 boards they didn't get at least a couple of them back? Of course they did, right? When Lulu Kasten of the Greenville News, who covers the South Carolina Gamecock basketball team for the Greenville News, was in studio yesterday, I asked her the question. If this team does not repeat as SEC Conference Tournament champions, if this team does not repeat against the field in the NCAA March Madness tournament, what do you think would be the reason? And Lulu Kesson's answer, and she has been banging this drum for a few weeks now on the show. Lulu Kesson's response was, because somebody beats them on the glass. Not goes level. I mean, she said she's pretty comfortable saying, if they finish games and they're out-rebounded by one or two, they still got a pretty good chance to beat most teams in America. But if they get beat on the glass, if the rebounding differential is 7, 10, as it was for Vandy yesterday, 8, if it's in that range, that's where the Gamecocks get in trouble. Because they don't have the shooting percentage last year. They don't have the finishers they had last year. And the one thing that they don't have is the rebounder that they had last year. Obviously, you got some good players on the roster there. Chloe Kitts has got all the experience that South Carolina could possibly want her to have in order to understand where the ball might bounce and how to get to it. But I would also make the point that she's going to have to be damn near perfect. She's averaging 8 boards a game. Vandy's number one rebounder got 15 yesterday. Pretty solid. Pretty solid. That's what has to be kept close today. Kentucky has got some good inside players. They don't have anybody who's getting 15 boards. LSU and Texas, we've seen those teams play. South Carolina's taken a couple L's from those squads. We all know the rivalry. Friendly or not, I don't know. I don't particularly care. We all know the rivalry that has been built up between Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey over the past couple of years. You know, as it did last year, when I had dudes from the stands jumping over the scorer's table to go try to throw hands with Camila Cardoso. You know that rivalry is intense. But I like the Gamecocks' athleticism to be able to beat LSU. I like the Gamecocks' game overall, the tactical game, to be able to beat Texas. They've already lost to Texas. That loss was on the road. This will be a home court advantage for the Gamecocks. That's the benefit of having it here in the GVL. Yeah, there's going to be a bit of a home court advantage there that they didn't have when they were in a close. Well, we're really close. They got ran out the door by Texas down in Austin. But at least you have that advantage back. I'm more concerned about Vanderbilt right now than I am about. Forget who we're going to play tomorrow in the semis. Forget who you're going to play Sunday in the final. You got to make it there. Which means today, crash of a glass. I know you want to run a fast break. I know you want to run a counter offense. And you got the dogs to do it for sure. Crash the glass today. I know you want Malaysia Fawile going the other way and trying to get those counterattack buckets. And I'm not saying take that out of the rotation. What I'm saying is crash the glass. If they are going to have a 15-board rebounder underneath, you need to send three down there to try to counter that. Texter said, it's not Vanderbilt, Rob. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Just like it's Greenville. Duh.
It's Greenville. And it's Louisville. We say it weird. I don't know what you tell me. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. I forgot about this. I told Lonzo during the live stream. Join us on the live stream. We have conversations with you, the Armada, on our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on X, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and Twitch. We stream all 4 hours, all 5 days of the week. Quick housekeeping note, we will be off next Thursday, Friday, and then the following Monday and Tuesday. Lonzo will be out on Wednesday. I will be here rolling the show solo. We will both be off on Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. We will return the following Wednesday. The lady friend and the little bro were kind enough and thoughtful enough to book us a trip down to New Orleans for my favorite holiday of the year, St. Patrick's Day, celebrating the old Irish roots, to go see some friends and family down in the Big Easy.
Just be careful.
Oh, I'm going to be fine. I'm a seasoned professional. Or an absolute beast.
Really? Because, I mean, you probably ain't rolled that hard in a while. So
it has been a little while. But that's all right. That's all right. We're going to be just fine. So anyway, we'll be off on Thursday, Friday.
Can you promise no rail slides?
Yes, I can promise that.
Okay.
All right. I have not put my immaculate booty on a railing since I KO'd myself with a Tyson Fury shot from the concrete. It was bad.
That was, what, a year ago, or was that 2 years ago?
It was like 2 years ago. I think it was like 2020, like mid-2023. It's like summer 23 when the Eagles came to town. You ever watched your favorite band play with a mild concussion? I have! Anyway, we're going down in New Orleans. We'll be off for a couple days. So, I'm glad you said that, because I do occasionally have to give myself an ever so brief reminder that the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. All right? I ain't an old man, but I ain't a young man no more. Y'all, I need to know, because Lonzo's already said he does. I need to know if any of y'all out there are aware. I don't like you, Sean. I need to know if any of y'all.
You should love him. That's your brother.
I do love him. Okay. I don't like him. There's a difference.
Okay.
If anybody else has dealt with this, because I did last night for the first time. This has never happened to me. Finished the show at 11. Was in bed at 11:30. I was out about midnight. And that usually transitions to me sleeping in a little bit. I'll sleep in till like 3:45. Okay? So I slept in a little bit till around 3:45. Or that was the plan anyway. Because about 2:15 a.m., I was awakened from my slumber, and I was awakened by one of the worst immediate sparks of pain I've ever felt in my life. From the middle of a rock solid sleep, I was out like a light. I awoke to a cramp in my right butt cheek that I cannot begin to describe to you. Like, you know how you have that pain? And it's so pain that, like, you can't even make a noise. You're just like, and that's all you can get out. It was that. So here I am, laying in the bed, fighting for my life, with my right butt cheek cramped up tight, going, because I also know that if I like squeal as I wanted to, I wake the wife up at 2:15. She wouldn't be mad, but I'd feel real bad about it. Okay. And Lonzo will tell you, I carry guilt around like he carries grudges around for a very long time. I'd have felt awful. So at 2:15 in the morning.
We win reward.
That's
awards,
also true.
Baby.
That's true. At 2:15 in the morning, I had to get up, get out of the bed. I had to hop like a one-legged man out into the hallway where I then had to make my way to the living room. And by the way, yeah, I've dropped some LBs. 220.2 when I got up and weighed myself this morning. All right. I'm trying to get back down to like wedding weight. I've decided I think I want to hang out there. All right. Yeah, 220. It's the lightest I've been since the wedding. That ain't light. We got hardwood floors built on an elevated house. I'm sure it sounded like the T-Rex from Jurassic Park was coming down the street. I get out to the living room. I lay on the floor. I get the little foam roller from my back because, yep, again, 40. I put it under my butt cheek, and I'm just like doing a yoga workout at 2:15 on the living room floor, trying to not eat bleep off of my foam roller, trying to balance myself. Can't balance myself on my right leg because it's clenched up like, yo. So I'm like trying to roll my butt cheek, balancing myself on my left hand and my left leg, rolling around on the floor like a weirdo. And then at that point, there was no going back to sleep.
Why don't you take a hot bath?
I mean, in that moment, again, awakened from the soundest of slumbers with sharp shooting pain, my brain was not like, oh, here's the proper way to handle that. Rest, ice, compression, elevation, hot shower. You know, we even got one of the removable, you know, the wand shower heads.
Yeah,
So, you know, make your life a little easier.
Can you change your settings?
Oh, yeah,
so
it's got
it a little bit harder.
I'm going to tell you right now, had I thought about this, I'd have been in there with that.
There you go.
Massager. And I'd have pointed that thing right at my butt and just let it go to town. I'm not even ashamed I said that sentence. All right?
You know, here's
didn't think about it. My brain was not in a working condition at 2:15 when I thought that I got stabbed in the butt cheek.
It's unfortunate for you, but this is probably the first of many. So, I mean, at least now you know what to expect. And
is that just a normal thing?
It's unfortunate.
Is that just something that's going to happen to me?
If I move my leg the wrong way, I can feel it coming on. It's like, oh, no. And I've had to jump up out of the bed to stop because, in my case, it happens in more than one place. Once it starts, it's a chain reaction. Mad therapy suggests Pedialyte. I don't know. Does that work?
No, he was telling me that when I said I'm going to go down to New Orleans for St. Patrick's Day weekend. So, it was to pound Pedialyte, which, not a rookie, mad therapy, not a rookie. But I appreciate you looking out for me. The Pedialyte is literally already bought for this trip. Okay?
Yeah, I have a theory that, at least for me, and that's why I asked you, were you in deep sleep, that's when they happen more, when you're in deep sleep, because I think that's when you're the most relaxed. And maybe you move the wrong way or something in your sleep. It's usually in deep sleep for me and dreaming. And because usually I sleep really still, but if I'm dreaming, I don't. And that's when it happens. So
this has not been an issue. There have been times where, like, I'll go play, you know, 27 holes of golf in a day, or, you know, my buddy Tammy will call me and be like, you want to go get some hoops in, and I'll go hoop for like 30, 45 minutes. It's not very often, but every now and then I'll go get physical. I want to get physical. Let's start getting physical. And those days, like, I've had some where I've like, I feel like I'm cramping up, and then I can like stretch it out real quick, you know, kind of hit the hip bend or the you know, pull the foot to the butt stretch or whatever. Not as easy as it used to be, but I can do it. And I've been able to prevent this from becoming a thing. Last night was the first night that I was awakened as if somebody had just informed me that the nuclear war started, and it started directly on my right butt cheek. Dude, when I tell you that I've never understood the expression, I shot up out of bed, because I don't. When Rob Brown awakes from the slumber, he's an angry bear coming out of hibernation. Even my wife, when I wake up, she gives me like 10 minutes of clear, right? Like 10 minutes to like come online. Even my wife is like, when she gets up, she don't wake me up. She just leaves the room. And when I get up, she knows I'll come out of the room when I'm awake and I'm ready. I don't wake up and just, having a good, healthy sleep pattern is a superpower. Because again, she can put head on pillows though, and she's out 3 minutes.
Yeah, we don't know about that sleep pattern.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we don't.
3 minutes. She can turn off the TV, put head to pillow, and she's out in 3 minutes. Takes me, I'm not kidding you, every night, takes me half an hour plus to fall asleep. I just have to lay there pretending like I'm asleep for a half an hour before I pass out. She, when she wakes up in the morning, it's up, she'll hit the stretch, and then she's like, all right, time to go for the day. I wake up in the morning, and I'm like, if anybody says a word to me right now, I will murder them. Don't talk to me. 10 minutes. Let me get my life together. Even when I come into work. Like, I'm real glad Lonzo comes in about half an hour after me, because that's half an hour for me to become a normal, friendly, happy person.
Except
wake up,
for,
Rob's not
you,
that guy.
You need to point out that I prefer not to talk, but you want to talk, because I'm the first person you can talk to.
Yeah.
So now I just jump in and say something first.
Yeah, and I'm a social guy, so,
so
it works
you
out
won't
great.
Ask me how I'm doing, because I'm not doing good. It's before 6 a.m.
I have never understood the expression, I shot out of bed. I've never shot out of bed. I've wanted to shoot people from my bed, but I've never shot out of bed.
So about, you know, neighbors and
metaphorically,
stuff that are
metaphorically,
making noises. And
metaphorically.
Stuff. No one that's yeah, actually in
don't
the-
talk to me. 10 minutes. Even my wife knows that. When I tell you, for the first time in my life this morning at 2:15 o'clock in the morning, or 2 a.m., 2:15 a.m., I can't even speak now, that I shot out of bed. I swear to you, if there was a switch that I could turn on and off to go from not alert to every sound, sight, color, smell, and taste in a 10-mile radius that fast, I'd never drink another energy drink ever again. It was the most, and it was only like probably 45 seconds. Dude, I would give my left little finger to never have to experience that again. Joey B said, yup, welcome to 40, bro.
Like I said, this is just the beginning of a journey that you're going to take. It's not a fun journey.
I hate everything that has happened to me so far today just because that's how it started. Let's take a break. Back after this, the Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan of.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
State.
Rob Brown time. Rob Brown time. Wrapping up the Friday edition of the show right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, 844-326-3663. If you want to jump in here at the end of the radio broadcast, now's your opportunity, 844-326-3663. Text that number, call that number, and be a part of the show for the final 20 minutes of it, 15 minutes of it, 14 minutes of it. I don't know, the last little bit of the broadcast. We would love to have you. A couple of topics that I want to jump through and around, some that we have covered, some that we have not thus far. We will start with a little NHL hockey. Real quick, like couple of things that I am very much enjoying right now. A couple of things I'm interested in seeing how it is that they play out. I will start with the Carolina Hurricanes. 3-2 win over the Boston Bruins last night. Good win. The interesting thing is this. On Wednesday's edition of BetMGM Tonight, I'm filling in for the remainder of the week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I guess the remainder of the week is tonight. I'll be on tonight, but I have been in for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And on Wednesday, we had a young lady on the show, Rachel Dory, who covers the NHL and all the other sports for Betalytics. She runs a fantastic company. We're actually going to start having Rachel on the show to talk a little hockey with us moving forward. She covers all the NHL, including the Canes. So, had Rachel Dory on, and we got into the conversation about the Carolina Hurricanes because they made a big trade just a handful of weeks ago for Mikko Rantanen. Finnish player, absolute stud, brought him over from Colorado. They sent over a couple of pretty good players over for, over to Colorado to bring Rantanen over. And he's a great player. He's an absolute great player. He's an absolute beaut of a player. I'll start doing the hockey stuff now. Right, bud? Absolute beaut of a player. So, the conversation turned into, Texter just said, please, no more hockey talk. Yeah, give me 3 minutes. Hang in there, Texter. You'll be all right. You'll get through it. Love a little ice hockey, bud. They brought him over. It's the final year of his deal. He is not obligated to sign a new contract now with the Carolina Hurricanes. And the thought was that hopefully they would. Hopefully he would sign a new deal, stay with the team for a while. The rumor coming out of Raleigh, North Carolina right now is that Mikko has decided he will not sign a new contract with the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know what it was that caused it. I don't know if it's an issue with Rod Brind'Amour. I don't know if it's an administrative front office issue or he just hates being in Raleigh, North Carolina. Have you been to Raleigh before, Zoe?
Been around it, but I don't think I've been actually okay. In it.
Is there anything up there besides the colleges?
Well, Mayberry's up there somewhere.
So no?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. I've never been to Raleigh. I haven't been to Raleigh yet. I'm kind of disappointed in myself. I need to get up there. I always said I was going to go up there and do
Well, you just ask if what's up there. If there's nothing up there, why would you go up there?
Duke and UNC basketball. Raleigh-Durham, Duke UNC basketball. Durham Bulls. I go see a Durham Bulls game. Okay, let me rephrase that. Outside of the sports, is there anything up there? Because there's good sports up that way. I need to get up there for a Duke UNC swing. Anyway. I don't know if it's just because there is apparently nothing there or what, but he wants back out. He is not going to sign a new contract, which leaves the Carolina Hurricanes with one option. And that one option is to trade him again. And that is interesting. Because now there's not a lot of options there. There's not a lot of options there. But alas, I woke up overnight at 2:15 in the morning. And what I found out, because at 3:15 in the morning, I was laying on the floor in my living room asking for the sweet release of death, I was scrolling the internets. And what I found out was that there was a little bit of news breaking out of the NHL out of Dallas, Texas, that Carolina and the Dallas Stars have the framework of a trade that would send Mikko Rantanen to Texas. The two teams have not agreed to all of the particulars, but apparently they've got enough of them done that the two teams have a handshake agreement. We've got a couple of details to clean up, but it is involved with Dallas getting Mikko to sign a new contract. They believe that they can. They believe the conversation is deep enough that he will re-sign. The question mark is, what will Carolina get? And unfortunately, because this framework came down at the butt crack of dawn this morning, we don't know. All I'm going to say is, when they brought Mikko to Carolina, that was a coup. That was a big opportunity. Pair him up with Sebastian Aho, Seth Jarvis. That's a good starting five for the Canes. But it was always going to come with the risk. It was always going to come with the risk. The risk being that Mikko would not re-sign. The risk being that he would not only not re-sign, but he wouldn't reach a decision until it was too late for Carolina to trade him back away. And if they did not get that done before it was time for him to trade away or to have to be traded away, which is today, NHL trade deadline, Carolina could have screwed themselves. So this trade, if it was to come down the pipe, this trade could very much be a jumping off point for the future of this franchise. It could very much be a jumping off point for the future of the franchise if they can't get a genuinely good return for Mikko Rantanen. Carolina may have just taken an enormous step back. They wanted to re-sign him. They tried to re-sign him. They had hoped to re-sign him. It did not come through. That's unfortunate. Kind of a gigantic bummer. But at least you knew before the deadline, even if it was only a day or two out, which gives you the opportunity to pull something together. What I'm hoping for is that Carolina is not pulling a Dallas Mavericks here and just giving them to the first team that called or that they called. What I'm hoping for here is that they put them up on the block. They made it known. They did an anti-Mavs. They let it be known that he was available, and Dallas put together the best offer. But we'll find out probably later on today. One other bit of news that I wanted to get to, this one probably going to be interesting to even less of you than that one was. I don't care. Kind of a big deal. There's a big-time soccer story that is breaking over the last couple of days. Apparently, according to ESPN yesterday, apparently the president of U.S. Soccer Federation, Cindy Parlow-Cohn, is set to be elected to the FIFA Council. CONCACAF is having their annual Congress coming up on March 15th in St. Lucia. Sounds nice. I'd love to go if anybody needs me to carry a bag, at which point the election to the FIFA Council will be held. Cohn is running unopposed, meaning she will likely be voting in and confirmed on the 15th. She will fill the North American slot previously held by former Mexican Football Federation President Yonda Luisa. CONCACAF has five slots on the 37-member FIFA Council, which outside the broader FIFA Congress is the main decision-making body of FIFA. One slot is taken by the CONCACAF president. The other three are represented by the Caribbean, Central America, and North America regions. Another slot is designated for a female representative, currently filled by Sonia Fulford of the Turks and Caicos. The United States will send Paolo Kone onto that as they are set to host the 2026 World Cup. And on top of that, they're putting forward a proposal to also host the 2031 Women's World Cup. The U.S. has not had representation on the FIFA Council since 2021, when the term of former USSF President Sunil Gulati expired. And on top of that, Paolo Kone has been, while not perfect, let me be clear, a dramatically better leader of the USSF. USSF has taken immense strides forward. We still have miles to go before we are where I want us to be as a genuine, bona fide world player, a player that is... Tim Howard and Landon Donovan do a podcast together, and they got asked the question by a listener, basically, is there any shot, even a do-you-believe-in-miracles, yes, opportunity for the U.S. to at least find their way into a World Cup final if we are hosting it? And Tim Howard said, no. No, because in order to get to that spot, you've got to win two out of three games in the group, and then you effectively have to put together, including qualifying, effectively 10 wins against top-tier ranked teams. 10 wins. And we're just not there yet. In fact, since we had our new coach take over not terribly long ago, we don't have a win against a top 10 team, against the top 15, against the top 20 team. Got wins, plenty of them, not even a lot of ties. But no big-time ranked wins. And Tim Howard said, you got to string a few of those together to get to that point. We're just not there yet. But the ability of Sidney Paolo Kone to go to FIFA, to have American representation in a way that, with two World Cups, one for sure, one hopefully coming up, she can advance the interest of American soccer. This feels to me like, while it's not Christian Pulisic doing crazy things on a field, in terms of making things happen in the most corrupt organization in sports, FIFA, this is the biggest step forward we have had in a very long time. Soccer talk, baby!
All right, lots of things axing, and no way we get to all of them. The first one...
All right, 30 seconds on each. Let's go. Burner.
Oh, no. There's no way. The first one's Bronny James.
Bronny James is trending because Bronny James is going back to the G League?
Oh, you don't know.
Coming up from the G League?
Oh, you don't know.
I don't know.
So Stephen A. had some things to say about Bronny James, and LeBron James confronted him last night on the court. There is video. We don't hear what he says, but there is video. There are words spoken, and
come here.
Stephen A. looks a little concerned.
Come here. Listen
I ain't
to me.
Coming over there.
No, not you. Not you. America, watching on the stream, come here. Hashtag Team Bronny. Just so we're clear. Hashtag Team Bronny. Nobody hates more than SAS, than Screamin' A. Nobody hates more on everything.
You just signed a $100 million contract,
yeah,
by the way.
And I'm over. I got to tell you, I've dropped ESPN on my YouTube TV at the crib. You can arrange your channels by most watched. ESPN's not even in the top 10 anymore.
All right. Speaking of that, the next thing it's asking is Charles Barkley.
I think I know why Chuck is Xing. It is because he called Kendrick Perkins, I believe it was a clown idiot or an idiot clown or a fool clown or fool. He used two back-to-back names. He said those clown idiots on that network that we're about to go work for, and basically clowned on him for hating any and everything. What he said was, all y'all ever do is talk about the Lakers and the Warriors. You got the Boston Celtics over here doing big things. You got the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were the second best team in the league, and it ain't particularly close. And all y'all do is get up every day, turn it on, and talk Lakers and Warriors over and over and over, and I'm tired of it. Straight up called K-Perk and ESPN. And good on Chuck for doing it.
And that's it. It's like he's trying to get out of the job before he gets the job.
I think he's trying to set himself up as, I'm going to go over there and be the disruptor. Because let's be real, that's the Chuck we all love.
All right. The next thing that's Xing is John Chayna.
John Chayna is Xing because we, don't know if he's showing up on SmackDown now.
No, this is kind of cool, actually.
Okay, fire away.
All right. He has a Guinness World Record.
Most Make-A-Wishes? Do we know that one already?
No.
Or another one?
The longest babyface run in wrestling.
Yeah, of course.
Which is now broken.
Yeah.
So no,
well, it's not broken. It's just
well, until someone else breaks it.
There's an end date on it now.
Until Rey Mysterio, I think Rey Mysterio is the next guy that.
Oh,
can break
I don't
it.
Think Rey's even going to be close. Rey was a heel a number of times throughout his career.
I mean, but
like while John was already a face,
but currently
he's the closest.
Yeah, he is. So he's got that going for
him. Yeah, and it can't be Cody. He's well past that mark at this point. Here's the thing. John Cena did the Doctor of Thugonomics, which I don't think he was really heel or face. I think he was kind of like one of those tweener characters. So I think you have to count that as a face for this to stand. I am thinking through everybody everywhere, and I don't think that character exists anymore. And I don't think it exists anymore because of the way that the world orchestrates. You can't really get over a eat your vitamins, say your prayers kind of baby face anymore. The public fades. Even Cody Rhodes, like we were kind of fading off on Cody up until the Cena turn. That's why they had to do it. I don't think you can have a 20-plus year eat your vegetables kind of pure baby face anymore.
All right, two more things. Daylight saving time.
Oh, is that coming?
We spring forward this weekend.
Oh, this weekend.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, this is literally the first I've heard of that. Can we stop? Can we stop with that?
Well, our president supposedly is trying to do that. So
good.
That possibly after we spring, that it's going to stay that way.
Good.
We'll see.
I will tell you right now, he has my full, entire, and unbridled support in the effort.
Wow. That's an amazing. That's the wildest thing you've heard this. And finally, and I keep putting this off, and I planned on getting to this, but I don't know if I have enough time, but I'm going to say that the last thing that's Xing is procrastination.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, and I'll talk about it later. That's it for us, dudes and dudettes. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being here all week long. Lonzo and I will be out until Monday, because that's how weekends work. Have a great weekend. Do not drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. If you're at the well for the South Carolina game today, come find the tall, handsome man that is me and say hello. I'd love to see you. Otherwise, we'll see y'all back here on Monday to do it all over again, but better. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Have a great weekend. See you back here Monday for the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later!
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.